You know, it almost sounds like it's one of those, I don't know, almost subtle balancing acts. You know, you got to get it out, but you don't, you know, whatever it is that you're experiencing with the grief, you need to express it, but not get stuck, because you do need to be moving.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of like what it is. And the hardest thing is when a person does express that grief, but it's in the wrong arena, and they may hear something that shouldn't have been said, or they may experience something, or someone tells them just to snap out of it, or whatever, and that just sets the time clock again, mm-hmm. you know. And that's unfortunate. I know people mean well when they do that sort of thing. One thing I like about grief share is it teaches you to be a teacher. You know, when you get to a point where you can share with people the appropriate things to say, and to be honest when you're answering. If someone says, "How are you?" say, "Well, you know, today's kind of maybe a 6 out of 10. I'm just functioning. I'm just being able to get through. Thank you very much for asking. Mm. Mm-hmm. What do you think there is to help me?"
I like that. Yeah, because that's one of the things that you all mentioned before. It is okay for the person who is experiencing the grief to ask for help.
Sure. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's in ways that's appropriate, you know, to be able to ask is hard if you're in grief. But also, as a person who is a caretaker, to say, what you call me if you need me. You know, what can I do? I can do X, Y, and Z. We talked a little bit about that last time. Your gifts or what you're offering, if it's cutting the grass or changing the oil or whatever. But I think that this two-way street, to ask for help and also to offer help in an appropriate way. So
when it comes to, you know, we were talking about getting stuck in grief, how does a person know when they're stuck in grief versus they're just experiencing grief for a long time?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that is. I think that if you, for instance, can't leave your house or can't leave your bed except for necessary things after a certain time. We all have periods of time when you're fresh in grief when that's just going to happen. But if you are a year beyond or a couple of years beyond and you're still not able to even look at the person's picture that you know, your loved one's picture, or there's some other little ways that we can tell that maybe you need a little extra bit of help, and to try to reach out. And that's why it's so important to be able to call someone, if it's somebody, not a church member, but the grief share. And if you can't pick up the phone, email, and we'll make contact with you. Maybe that's the first step that you need to do.
And you mentioned that sometimes, well, often, depression is going to be a part of the equation as well. Mm-hmm. Do you find that there are times when that person who is experiencing depression really does need to get with a professional who can help them work through that?
Absolutely. Yes. And that's just being honest about the whole situation. And part of a person, I feel, when they're stuck in grief is they keep revisiting the negative things that have been done or said. They keep revisiting that and allowing that clock to be set back, and that's just kind of a really uncomfortable place, but it's a place that they're familiar with, and it's not doing them any good when they're going back to those same statements, or that same person is still saying whatever they're saying. But the need to move away from that to some healthy avenues, that's and for them to be able to admit, say, "I'm stuck in grief," that's a big, wonderful thing if they're able to say, "Hey, it's just like I'm overweight. Okay, well, then we can do something about that now that you know it," or whatever. So it helps when a person comes to that point and says, "I need some help."
And I think when they cycle through the whys, and there are no answers to the whys, if they continue to ask the question, "Why did my loved one? Why did I let him get in the car? Why did I let her do whatever it was?" If they can't get beyond that, and there are no answers sometimes. Mm-hmm. We don't have answers. In violent deaths, we don't have answers for that. But to continue to ask that question, or to continue to want to discuss that, and there is a time that you need to. Mm-hmm. When you're fresh in grief, you've got to tell your story. You have to be able to tell your story. And we allow that. But I think that if you're months out or a year out and you're still asking those unanswerable questions, that's a real red flag for me. It would be for
that's
me.
That's a real good point.
And, you know, something that you mentioned when you and I first spoke, Melrose, not on the program but by phone, mm-hmm. I had a friend mm-hmm. who I wanted to come by and begin to work with you all. And the most important thing you said to me that helped prepare me for her response was when you said, if she's ready, mm-hmm. because she may not be ready. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten all about that part of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're in grief and we get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And we may, for one reason or another, not be willing or ready mm-hmm. to come alongside of other people or let other people come alongside of us and help us mm-hmm. go through what we're going mm-hmm. through.
And she may not need, or whoever it was that we spoke about, she may not need a grief group. She just may need her faith family, or she mm-hmm. may need a couple of close friends that can do the job, which is mainly to listen mm-hmm. and to bring her along. If she needs a way to get to church, make sure she gets to church yeah. if that's important to her. There are certain things, you know, not everybody needs a group. Mm-hmm. But for her, she just wasn't ready. And she wasn't ready to share that grief with other people. And you just have to respect that. And we respect people that come and go in our group.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not for them. That's okay. We mm-hmm. don't get mad.
That's fine. Yes.
Yeah. We don't get our feelings hurt.
Interesting. So just because someone starts with the program on day one, Tuesday, mm-hmm. such and such a date at such and such a time, they're ready. And for whatever reason, I guess just mm-hmm. like with Alcoholics Anonymous mm-hmm. or some other support groups, they decide, no, isn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. This isn't for me. And they mm-hmm. sometimes will move on.
Yeah, they will. Now, we do make sure that we try to contact,
yes,
you know, especially
contact.
If... Because it's so easy to slide right back into those old habits. Mm-hmm. So I try to do at least, well, every week I do every week, contact them either through email or personal notes. But if it's two times, I'm trying to get them on the phone. I need to know. And I'm very willing to hear, you know what, that's just not for me. And I'm okay with that. Or it's not time for me. And that's
yeah.
okay too.
Yeah.
You know, we're open to anything. We really are.
I think we had one or maybe two the very first night mm-hmm. when it was. That's a pretty tough night.
Yeah.
That's when people tell their story briefly. There were a couple of folks in that particular setting that said, oh, I'm not sure mm-hmm. If I can handle this right now, if this is what I'm, or if I'm ready for this. And that's okay.
And a lot of people in grief tend to take on other people's grief and problems. And we have to be very careful with our participants. If we see one person overtaking, we need to care for our group as well as the individual. So we might need to say to that person, you know what, I think maybe think about coming next cycle. Maybe you need a few, a little bit more time before you come back to group. And especially if it's affecting our groups
right.
that we counsel with. So
sometimes it's part of it that emotion may be running so strong that the person's not really ready to share at that mm-hmm. time?
Or they share in such a way, or their behaviors become such that it affects the other group. Suicide is a thought that runs through people's minds a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're just very cautious about that. It's not that we deal with it. There's several sessions that deal specifically with that, thoughts of wanting to hurt yourself. But when it takes on another level, we as people who are responsible, we have to act on that. Mm-hmm. And that scares people sometimes.
Yeah,
but we have
imagine.
To act on that. We
yeah.
have to bring in somebody quickly.
All right, y'all stay with us. Real talk, and we'll be right back.